You're listening to KFSK News for Tuesday, December 2nd. I'm Taylor Heckert. Petersburg's high school varsity volleyball team went to Skagway in November to participate in the regional tournament. The team came into the tournament seeded second in the region, but did not make it to state. After an initial loss to Haynes, the team turned around and won against Craig before losing to Hoonah. Head coach Jamie Cabral sat down with KFSK to talk about regions. He says that while the girls didn't go as far as they wanted, they fought hard during an incredibly competitive tournament.
I don't think seeding really mattered the way everybody was playing this year. Everyone was pretty tight-knit. I mean, the number one seed didn't even win. They got second. You know, just the way all the games were going and people were peaking at the right time. I thought our girls peaked pretty well. I think we had them just where we wanted them. A little emotional after that loss, you know, kind of not really just expecting to win, but kind of almost. But the second game against Craig, they came out on fire, and the girls played exceptionally well against Craig, and it was a high competitive performance game with Craig, who had some big hitters. And then the game in which we got eliminated against Hoonah, 2 hours and 30 minute match. We went 5 and lost 16-14 in the fifth. And so every game at the tournament, out of the 14 matches, 12 of them went 4 or 5 sets. So that, I mean, if you were a volleyball fan, that would have been the tournament to just go sit and watch competitive games, and all the teams did exceptionally well. Talking to the girls, hard to, you know, it's one portion disappointing, one portion satisfied, because they played their hearts out, left everything on the floor, and so cliche, but they really did. And kind of reminding them that hard work doesn't guarantee championships, it doesn't guarantee a win, but it gets you pretty darn close. And so never change that work ethic that they've always done. Is they put in the work, they put in hard work, just wasn't our moment.
For that final match to be so close must be so painful, but they fought so hard.
Oh, amazing. Yep. It was just a battle. I mean, and it wasn't sloppy volleyball. It was really high intense volleyball going on the whole time. Step on the floor at 6 and you walk off at 9. So that's a long day for them. It was great. If you could have happiness for them all the time, it would be great. But the messages that we told them, that sometimes winning is rude. You know, it's you got to earn it, and it doesn't seem fair, but that's the way it goes. And so the life lessons that we learned, huge. The bonding, huge. And this group is, and I told them that numerous times, this group is a special group. They bonded real well. We're not the tallest team. We're probably the smallest team in the region too, height-wise, but not heart-wise. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And tell me some standout performances.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. All of them again, as always. But our outside hitters with Mael, Ariel, and Nicole. Nicole had the tournament of her life. She was just an offensive machine the last two games against Craig and Hoonah. Ariel, her back row play is just unbelievable. She's all over the court. Two bloody noses in the game where Mael had to step in and take over for her while we were trying to control that in the chaos. And so all three of them performed well, made great plays, served well. We served exceptionally well this weekend too. Aurora, Natalie, and Maddie just did phenomenal in the middle. Really good blocking from them, those three as well. Our setters with Juliana, Eden, and Ricka ran phenomenal offenses, and then they stepped it up in the last two games. They did a really nice job of running the offense and playing defense. And then our liberos, Cadence Flint kind of came halfway through, got some court time, served exceptionally well, made some great digs on the court. And then Freya, our libero, who's in my mind the best libero in the region, and could be in the state for all of 2A. She did phenomenal defensively, keeping everybody fired up. She's a quiet leader, but once she gets on the floor, there's a switch where she becomes a vocal leader as well.
Since we're at the end of the season, mm-hmm. looking back, how do you feel about the season? How does the team feel?
Yeah, you know, I think they feel, we set goals before the season starts. We get to a point and we're like, okay, what 3 goals do we want to accomplish? And their 3 goals, one we didn't achieve. And that was, one of their goals was to win regions. Team chemistry was the other one. And the team chemistry was one of the best team chemistries out of many of the teams that I've had before. And consistent positive energy was their third one. And that's what they had. So 2 out of the 3, not bad in my mind. But looking back, successful season for all of them. I think the game experience for the younger ones, huge for them. But then also what the seniors did of leaving kind of a, kind of a footprint or a manual, so to speak, of what team chemistry should look like as a group.
That was Petersburg High School head volleyball coach Jamie Cabral talking with KFSK. The Skagway Traditional Council spent 5 years searching for records related to the Pius X Mission Resident School for Native Children. It's unclear how many Native youth attended the former school, located in Skagway and run by the Catholic Church. So far, the tribe has located records of around 500 children. Skagway Traditional Council has taken their findings and built a website to document the history of the institution, both the good and the bad. KHNS's Melinda Munson has this story.
Jamie Bricker is Skagway Traditional Council's president and a descendant of a Pius X survivor.
The only information I could find about it was written from the white perspective, from the church perspective, and really glorified its existence. And that was hard for me to understand, knowing bits and pieces of my grandfather's life and what his experience had been like.
The boarding school operated from 1932 to 1959 at the site of what is now an RV park owned by the municipality of Skagway. At the school, children as young as 3 lived far away from their families as they learned Christianity, trade skills, and basic education.
That it was part of an initiative to kill the Indian, save the man. It was an effort to make the indigenous peoples easier to deal with, really.
Bricker says that while her grandfather traveled with the school's principal, Father George Gallant, to Rome to meet the Pope, contact with his family was limited.
When my grandfather was relocated from Kodiak Island with his 2 brothers, they left their sister and their mother behind. My great-grandmother didn't step foot in Skagway until the birth of her first grandchild. So her 3 boys were removed from her their entire childhood. Hard to imagine.
What's also hard for some to imagine is the abuse that happened in residential boarding schools, including Pius X.
I've sat with a lot of survivors that have had never spoken of their negative experiences at boarding schools for many reasons. One, it's too hard, it's too traumatic, whether or not people would believe them, whether or not they thought it was their own fault. So it's a really complicated matter.
Bricker says these stories of abuse aren't hers to tell. Some of those stories are documented in the 2023 archaeological assessment of Pius X done by the University of Arizona. Sarah Cash, the tribe's cultural resource specialist, heard many of these accounts as she gleaned records, spoke to survivors, and built the website. When she first started, Cash cold called anyone she could think of. This included the Sisters of St. Anne, based in Canada. They were responsible for the care and teaching of Pius X students. They are also linked to a history of abuse at residential schools, including one Canadian school found to have hundreds of unmarked graves of Native children. Cash made multiple visits to Canada and Juneau. She says documentation was in various states of usefulness. Some of it was even burned from the 2 fires that occurred at Pius X.
The records we got, some of them were transcribed by typewriter sometime in the past, but a lot of them were handwritten correspondence in various levels of legibility. At this point, I can actually recognize Father Gallant's handwriting just at a glance from how many letters I've read.
Bricker says Cash, who was the main investigator, had to learn new research skills while juggling the emotional toll.
There has been times when she's been in basements going through very sensitive material. And oftentimes, in her digging through this, she's been on an island by herself.
When asked what she's learned from this process, Bricker quoted her great-uncle Fred, who attended Pius X.
I learned quite a few things. I learned humility. I learned bitterness. I learned patience. I learned how to hate, vengeance, revenge. I learned how to live. I learned how to forgive. And I learned how to forget.
Bricker says that this quote from an interview by Skagway author Jeff Brady is what started her on the path to finding answers.
And it really resonates with me now, us having gone through this investigation process, because at times I feel like I was on that exact same path of learning The only thing that I can't resonate with is how to forget, and I just won't let us forget.
The Pius X website, www.piusxskagway.com, covers the history of the school and the documentation process and suggests learning resources. In Skagway, I'm Melinda Munson.
Juneau's Parks and Recreation Department began hosting pickup pickleball 3 days a week at the Floyd Dryden Gymnasium this fall. In the last decade, new players across the country, especially seniors, have been picking up the sport. And as Juneau's population continues to grow older, the city says interest in pickleball is growing with them. K2O's Clarice Larson reports.
Oh, you got it!
The patter of pickleballs and the squeak of sneakers fill the Floyd Dryden campus gymnasium in the Mendenhall Valley on Wednesday afternoon. It looks sort of like tennis, but with a lower net and a plastic ball that wind sails through. Fred Hiltner waits for his turn to hop into a game. The city and borough of Juneau's Parks and Recreation Department began hosting $5 pickup pickleball games this fall. Residents can drop in to play, to have fun, make new friends, and stay active. Hiltner says he's been playing pickleball outdoors for a year and a half in Juneau and was excited when the city began offering it indoors and out of the elements.
First, I thought it seemed like kind of a silly game, and a friend tried to get me to play, and I thought, I don't think so. And then I gave it a try, and I just love it. It's really a fun game that anybody can play.
Hiltner is retired. He says he was drawn to the social aspect of the sport and how easy it is to learn at any age.
So a lot of people who might not be getting out, old people like me, have a great opportunity to get out and play together.
Pickleball has become one of the fastest growing sports in the country. It's particularly popular with older people over age 65, who make up a large portion of Juneau's population.
Juneau is an aging community, and pickleball has been growing. It has just been exploding over the past 10 years.
That's Lauren Varelli, the deputy director of the city's Parks and Recreation Department. She says the city began hosting the sport after people asked for pickup games. About 15 to 20 people attend each session. A 2023 report by the Juneau Economic Development Council found that, for the first time, the over 60 population in Juneau outnumbered the under 20 population. And Juneau's older population is only expected to grow in the coming decades, according to population estimates released by the state's Department of Labor and Workforce Development earlier this year. Varelli says the goal is to create more chances for people of all ages to stay active throughout the winter.
I think that's what we're here for, like all of our parks and recreation facilities, for people to get in and have a place to recreate in the winter in the dark, cold months. So
Dan Kromarek is 88 years old, and he's taking advantage of the opportunity. On Wednesday, he was teamed up with the high school senior who just won the boys' single state tennis title this year. Back in the day, Kromarek used to do judo and martial arts, but started playing pickleball during the pandemic to keep himself active after a surgery. He's been hooked since.
It's just an easy exercise benefit, you know, that keeps you interested. You got to have something to keep you interested rather than do a solo thing where it's pretty hard to get out and do stuff on your own.
His young teammate is Juneau Douglas High School Yanaakathle senior Elliot Welch. Welch runs the pickleball program and works for Parks and Rec. He says he prefers tennis, but
to get paid and to play, that's fun.
Varelli with Parks and Rec says the department had plans to expand the program to evenings, but now that's on hold as the city faces potential budget cuts following this year's local election. She says the city still plans to renovate the outdoor tennis courts at Floyd Dryden next summer to include two dedicated pickleball courts. A long-term goal is to create even more pickleball at the Jackie Renninger Park in the coming years. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
For KFSK, I'm Taylor Heckert.